The 13th Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brethren, the promises were made to Abraham and his offspring. He does not say, and to his offsprings, as of many, but as of one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. Now I mean this, the law which was made 430 years later does not annul the covenant which was ratified by God so as to make the promise void. For if the right to inherit be from the law, it is no longer from a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. What then was the law? It was enacted on account of transgressions, being delivered by angels through a mediator, until the offspring should come to whom the promise was made. Now there is no intermediary where there is only one, but God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? By no means. For if a law had been given that could give life, justice would truly be from the law. But the Scripture shut up all things under sin, that by faith of Jesus Christ the promise might be given to those who believe. The Gospel is taken from that of St. Luke. At that time Jesus was going to Jerusalem, and he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was entering a certain village, there met him 10 lepers, who stood afar off and lifting up their voices, crying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And it came to pass that they were on their way, and they were made clean. But one of them, seeing that he was made clean, returned with a loud voice, glorifying God, and he fell on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. But Jesus answered and said, "Were not the 10 made clean, but where are the 9? Has no one been found to return and give glory to him? And he to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise and go your way. Your faith has saved you." A number of months ago, I spoke about concupiscence. And if you recall, concupiscence is that tendency within us to sin. It arises from sin and leads to sin, but it is not sin itself, as the Council of Trent teaches. And it comes from both types of sin, that is, original sin and also our personal sins. Every person, even little children, have this tendency, this concupiscence. Now, sometimes people might think it's the same as a habit. And we can say habits are a type of concupiscence, but not all concupiscence is habit. Concupiscence is that tendency within us to find the sin attractive, even if we've never sinned before. And you know, we can look at little kids. Little children are often good examples or good ways in which we can have insight into the spiritual life because they're so innocent and pure, they're not clouded by a lot of the baggage that we have. So we can see these things. And just as a simple example, we can think about like a little five-year-old child who's never had chocolate before, and you give him a piece of chocolate, and he likes that chocolate. He wants another piece of chocolate. That's concupiscence. He tasted it, he likes it, and he wants it again. Forget about the broccoli or the peas. He wants the chocolate. And in a simple way, we can all see that within a child, but then we should be able to see that within ourselves. Things that we are attracted to, we are willing to go to pursue, even though it's to our detriment. Even though we know we shouldn't, we're still attracted to it. That is a form of concupiscence, and we can see it. If you're in tune with your spiritual life, you can see it. So remember, concupiscence is not sin itself. And it's not quite the same thing as temptation. But it arises from sins, our personal sins. As we have committed sins in the past, we then become attached to them, and then it becomes harder. It's harder to resist them. That's the concupiscence. It's not quite a habit. Habits can be a form of concupiscence, but it's not the same thing. But now, Our Lady, though, as we all know, has been conceived without sin, without original sin. But also, Our Lady did not have concupiscence. For as Pope Pius IX taught when he declared the Immaculate Conception, he said that Mary from the first moment of her creation was preserved from all stain of original sin. He did not say that she did not have sin. He said all stain of original sin. And so that also includes concupiscence. Even though it's not sin itself, it is related. It is part of the stain of sin. So Our Lady did not suffer in this way. And I brought this up a few months ago, and I'm reiterating it here just so people will remember it and recall it. Our Lady is not tempted, or was not tempted, to sin in the same way we were. She was tempted a little bit different because she didn't have concupiscence, but she was tempted without a doubt in this life. But Our Lady is without sin. She received that grace at the Immaculate Conception, and she preserved that grace through her whole life, and then because of that, she was crowned with her glorious Assumption, which we celebrated last week. But Our Lady, though, is without sin. She's immaculate. And this is what we mean when we talk about her immaculate heart. It's not only that she has no sin, but she has no stain of sin. She has no concupiscence either. Her heart is pure. Originally, this feast, or this notion, this devotion was called the Most Pure Heart of Mary. And it was presented first by St. John Eudes, who's called the father of devotion to the Immaculate Heart. Our Lady has a pure heart. And it's important for us to look to Mary. You know, God didn't have to reveal this aspect to Mary. He could have just kept her all to himself. But it's revealed to us. Why? To show us where we are supposed to go. Our hearts are to be immaculate like Mary's. Not in this life, but in the next life, that is in heaven. When all sin will be taken away and all concupiscence will be taken away, Mary, our mother, will then give us the graces, of course, through Christ, that our hearts would then be pure. Pure like hers. And it's important to understand this. This is the direction in which we are called. And in this life, we can look at our struggle against sin under this concept of the Immaculate Heart, that we are to ask for the graces, that we are to struggle and do penances, so that our heart becomes more and more like Our Lady's. And it's important because the graces that God gives to us, God gives us graces for ourselves and our families. Oftentimes, our mission in life, of course, is our personal sanctification, but also that we are to help our family and also our neighbors. That through us comes grace. Now, it's easy to see, like a priest, you go back to the confessional and the priest is the channel or conduit for grace, the grace that you receive in confession. But also you yourselves, when you pray the Hail Mary, pray for us now and at the hour of our death, amen. Pray for us, not only us here saying this prayer, but everyone. We pray for other people, and we become the channel or means by which grace comes into the world. But sin and concupiscence block this grace. Block this grace. Now, I've been talking very abstractly up to this point, but I'll give a good example. We can think of a window. Now, here we have these stained glass windows, but if we just think of maybe a clear glass window. And we all know the example of grace as being light. We see that everywhere. That the, even right here in the crucifix in the window, there is light rays coming off it. It represents the grace that Christ won. We have Our Lady being assumed into heaven there. She has these rays of light coming from her crown. Represents the graces and glory. So we can imagine the grace as the light rays which pass through this window. And the window is our soul, is our heart. And we are to be the way in which that grace comes into the world, comes through us. But sin and concupiscence can be thought of as stains or soot upon that window. As the soul becomes more steeped in sin, less grace comes through it. God's given the grace, but it's being blocked by that sin. Now, we're used to the idea of sin as being like a stain on the soul, but we have to remember, not just sin, but concupiscence also. is a block to grace. So even though you go to confession and you're forgiven from your sins and you're in a state of sanctifying grace, and if you die at that moment, you'll go straight, you know, you'll eventually go to heaven, we'll put it that way. If there's still that concupiscence there that remains of the sin and that you're guilty of, you won't go to heaven, you'll go to purgatory. So we need to make this, we need to make sure we understand that what fouls the window, what soots it up, is not only our sins, but also the concupiscence. And so, by confession and receiving the sacraments and also doing penance is the way in which we remove the stains and the blocks to grace. God wants the grace to come into the world, and He's sending it. He's sending it through us to your neighbors, to your friends, to your family, and to yourself. But the problem is that our own personal sins and the state of our soul block it. Now, Our Lady, though, was perfectly pure. She didn't have sin. She preserved herself without sin. And she didn't have any concupiscence. So for her, she was perfectly transparent to the graces which came into the world. Not only for her, but for all of us. And this is what we need to strive for. God wants to give grace into the world, but He wants to give it through you. He wants to give it through me. So we need to strive to have a pure and holy heart. Now, if you notice, in the consecration, there was a little promise at the end. I made a promise to Mary, and I asked her to pour down, in a sense, extra graces upon us so that we would become holy. And I made a little deal with her. I said, if you pour these graces, extra graces down, I'll make sure that we foster devotion to your Immaculate Heart. And we do. We have the first Saturday devotions. But when we think about the window, you know, any lady will tell you, or anyone who's cleaned windows, you can't clean a window in the dark. It's impossible. You try to clean it, and you'll just get streaks, and then when the light shines through it, it'll probably look worse than before, because now it's all streaky. You have to have the light there shining through. And so it is with our soul. We can't clean our soul. We can't even be know that our soul is dirty without grace trying to shine through it. And then once we see those blocks to grace, then we can clean it. We can do our penances. We can do our prayers. We say, I have to go to confession. And so, that little promise I made to Our Lady was asking her to give more graces to us. Why? So that our soul would be more illuminated. If the sun shines brighter, then it's easier to see the stains. And so, we need to turn to Our Lady and ask her to help us. We need to imitate her as much as possible. I've used this illustration before. You know, I was at my old parish a few weeks ago. I haven't been there in 5 years. There's a little boy running around. He's 4 years old. And I immediately knew who he was. I'd never met him before. I said, oh, that's a Smith kid. How do you know? Because he looks just like his siblings. He looks just like his father and mother, without a doubt. And so it is in the spiritual life. We know parenthood by a biological similarity. So spiritually, if Mary's our mother, then spiritually we must be like her. And this is a way, or the way, in which we are. The angels look at us, and they say, oh, you are a child of Mary. Why? Because I can see your heart is like our Queen's heart, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And this is what we have to strive for, through grace, through our penances, through our prayers. Now, before I wind this up, I need to make one little caveat. Whenever I preach the Immaculate Heart of Mary, inevitably, there will be a group of people who completely miss the whole message and focus on the Pope. The Pope needs to do this. Our Lady said the Pope needs to do this thing, and this is what has to happen, and we need to pray for this, Father. Don't you think we need to do this? Don't think about that. If you're going to come and talk to me about that, forget about it. I'm not going to listen to you. That's not important. If Our Lady wants the Pope to do something, she can get him to do it. Don't worry about that. What that is that's a distraction. See, the devil can use good things and twist them around to false, to something false. And what that is then the person is not focused on their interior life. They're focused on everybody else. Oh, you're the problem over there. You're the problem over there. No. You know, G.K. Chesterton has a great saying. He has a great little statement. There was once a newspaper man who asked a number of the great intellectuals in England about 100 years ago and asked them, what is wrong with the world? And please write an essay for this. And they had secularists write it and churchmen. And G.K. Chesterton, who was a Catholic, wrote a simple thing. Many people were writing whole pages. He said, what is wrong with the world? I am. Meaning it is me. My sins are what's wrong with the world. So don't worry about those things out there. We have to look at our heart. That's where it comes from. You know, if our hearts were transparent, then those graces would come into the world. It's not by talking to other people, it's not by doing that particularly things happen. We have to try to make our hearts as pure as possible. Why? So that those graces are not blocked. Those graces can come into the world to illuminate not only ourselves, but our friends, our neighbors, and the whole church. That is how things will happen, by having a pure heart. And if everybody strove to have a pure heart, how different this world would be. It would be completely different. So, just to wind this up. Okay. Concupiscence and sin. There are blocks to grace in our life. And we need to strive to eliminate the sin, and we need to strive to overcome concupiscence. And in this way, we pursue the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We become like Our Lady. We become a child of Our Lady. And if we are found worthy and we go to heaven, then at that point, every one of our hearts will then be transformed into an image of Our Lady, pure and immaculate. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.